I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is September 6th, 2014. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an essay by David Harris Gershon entitled, If I Were Black in America, There's a Decent Chance I'd Already Be Dead. He begins, Two unarmed black men, Michael Brown and John Crawford, have been gunned down by police in a matter of days. Tragedies which have once again illuminated the dangers black men face for merely going about their day. David, so to you, pushing a police officer back into his squad car is just going about his day? That guy must have some really interesting days. He continues, the statistics are sobering. One African American is killed either by law enforcement, security guards, or stand-your-ground vigilantes every 28 hours. David, that statistic tells us nothing about the reasons why they were killed, only that they were killed. Why did the police or security guard shoot the victim? Why did the citizen have to stand their ground and defend themselves? He wrote, and that's to say nothing of the shocking frequency with which black men are imprisoned compared with their white counterparts. David, everyone knows that African Americans are imprisoned at a higher rate than other groups. But what you need to show is why they are. What about black judges? Are they racist against blacks? What about Hispanic judges? Are you claiming all white judges are racist? If not, then which ones? You can't condemn everyone just because some are racist. You need to root out the racists. But that requires a lot more work, doesn't it, David? It's a lot easier to take the lazy road and just throw a blanket over everyone and yell, racism. But when you do that, you hurt a lot of innocent people. Something that apparently doesn't bother you, David. He continues, also sobering for me is the following thought. Given my anti-authoritarian leanings and sarcastic angst, there's a chance I'd already be dead if I were black in this country. It's not a bombastic thought. In my younger days as a white Jew raised in the suburbs of Atlanta, David, I lost 30 minutes of life that I will never get back. While suffering through your anti-Semitic diatribe against Israel for defending itself against the international terrorist organization Hamas. By the way, David, here's a link to an essay by P.Z. Myers in which he echoes your support for the terrorists. It also includes my replies to Myers' statements and claims. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I supplied him a link. David, it is clear that you are a self-loathing Jew. Maybe while growing up in Atlanta, the pressure from all those good old Southern white boys is the reason why you turned against and betrayed your own people. He wrote, I had several run-ins with law enforcement, which, had the color of my skin been any different, could have turned out much worse, perhaps even fatal. David, knowing how those Southern rednecks feel about Jews, how do you explain that you fared any better than blacks? I have experience with white supremacist groups. In fact, on my website, you can listen to a recording where one racist threatens to kill me and my family. If you go to the podcast archives, show number 215, you can listen to another recording of a debate I had with three of their leaders. Trust me on this one, David. They hate Jews every bit as much as they hate blacks. David continues, in one incident, I was crossing into Canada from Maine, a scraggly college student on an exchange program looking for adventure, when the U.S. Border Patrol agent, running through his litany of questions, finally got to asking me if I had any contraband, I sarcastically answered, it's funny you mention contraband. That's actually why I'm headed to Canada. David, sarcastically, Why do I get the feeling that you were probably telling the truth? David wrote, the officer immediately dropped his clipboard and ordered me out of the car. I did not comply, opening the door with my hands raised as any sane individual would. Instead, I refused and asked, comfortable in my white skin, why? You know I'm just joking. Yes, my car was searched. David, that's because the cops suspected that you weren't being sarcastic either, which is pretty much what I said earlier. David wrote, but I was not arrested. David, then he didn't find anything, which adds even more evidence to the theory that you were being truthful rather than sarcastic when you told him you were going into Canada to score. He wrote, I was not physically mistreated, nor was I shot for resisting. David, had you pulled that crap back in Atlanta, you likely would have found yourself standing in the corner of a jail cell with three bubbas just waiting for you to drop your keys. David continues, in another incident, again from my college years, I was pulled over in Texas along with several of my white friends, all of us vacationing at Big Bend National Park for spring break, when some marijuana, not belonging to me, of course. David, it's become obvious that honesty isn't your strong suit. Oh, that's right. That was just some more of your great sarcasm, wasn't it? Please continue. David continues, was found in the vehicle. We were read our rights in separate groups. However, when the officer got to me, I put up my hand and said, don't bother, we know our rights. The officer looked at me, paused, and began again. I interrupted him a second time and told him to stop wasting our time. Before being punched, not by the officer, but by my friend standing beside me, dumbfounded by my poorly placed sarcastic angst. David, so far from everything you have written about yourself, you sound like an insufferable prick. David, this is just a wild guess, but I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess anyway. When you were raised, I'm betting your father was a Harvey Milquetoast who never disciplined you, except maybe to send you to bed early once without your weed. Close? David wrote, the result? The cop laughed and eventually let us go. David, I wouldn't have blamed him if he had searched your car until midnight, if that's what it took to get your cocky little ass into a jail cell. He continues, now those stories might not seem remarkable. However, when I tell them to black friends and acquaintances, they uniformly shake their heads in amazement. David, somehow we all knew that was coming. I can't be racist. Some of my best friends are black. How patronizing of you. Then he wrote, those who rallied in Ferguson, Missouri. David, how come you didn't mention the ones who rallied inside of vandalized businesses? How come you avoided commenting on all those big screen TVs that found their way into the homes of protesters during the Great Ferguson Summer Giveaway Sale? Maybe it slipped your mind while you were busy trading love letters with the terrorists in Gaza. David, do they have you on speed dial? He wrote, where Michael Brown was gunned down days before beginning college, chanted, no justice, no peace. David, people who threaten violence by chanting no peace when things don't go their way are one of the greatest threats to the law and order of this country that we as a nation face. The fact that we still have people who will threaten violence as an answer to their problems shows just how far we have yet to go. These people are the liberal equivalent to the conservative gun nut wing. Rational Americans despise both of these violent lunatic fringe groups, and rightfully so. He wrote, black parents in America, particularly those with boys, understand what it is like to live without peace of mind, wondering if their child will survive the evening due to the color of his skin. David, if those two men were killed due to the color of their skin, then how do you explain all the other blacks standing there who were not? Did they not have the same color of skin? You can't explain that because your vile, racist bullshit is false. Neither was killed for the color of his skin, but for other reasons that you intentionally choose to ignore. And he concludes by writing, "Yes, justice for the victims and peace for everyone." David, despite the rush to judgment on cause by a flood of guilt-ridden white and race-manipulating black writers, justice will come after the investigation is complete. If it doesn't go your way, then would be the proper time to raise hell, and David, in an appropriate and peaceful fashion. David wrote several other essays on this subject. He decried the militarization of local police departments, yet ignored the militarization of civilians by the NRA, whose lobbying power is turning America into the Wild West. David posted photos of unarmed protesters throwing tear gas canisters back at police, but no photos of unarmed protesters throwing Molotov cocktails. Where are those photos, David? David showed a protester supposedly being confronted, yet his own picture shows no cops within meters of a man who was simply holding his hands up, as many protesters did. David posted a picture of a little kid with a scarf over its face. What kind of parent puts their child in that kind of jeopardy? There is no excuse for any parent to do that to a child. And now we move to the science segment. Today, a potential universal blood test for cancer has been discovered. Researchers have devised a simple blood test that can be used to diagnose whether people have cancer or not. The test will enable doctors to rule out cancer in patients presenting with certain symptoms, saving time and preventing costly and unnecessary invasive procedures such as colonoscopies. Alternatively, it could be a useful aid for investigating patients who are suspected of having a cancer that is currently hard to diagnose. Early results have shown the method gives a high degree of accuracy diagnosing cancer and precancerous conditions from the blood of patients with melanoma, colon cancer, and lung cancer. The lymphocyte genome sensitivity test looks at white blood cells and measures the damage caused to their DNA when subjected to different intensities of UVA light, which is known to damage DNA. The results of the study show a clear distinction between the damage to the white blood cells from patients with cancer with precancerous conditions and from healthy patients. White blood cells are part of the body's natural defense system. They are under stress when fighting cancer or other diseases. People with cancer have DNA, which is more easily damaged by ultraviolet light than other people. So the test shows the sensitivity to damage of all the DNA in a cell. The study looked at blood samples taken from 208 individuals. 94 healthy individuals were recruited from staff and students at the University of Bradford, and 114 blood samples were collected from patients referred to specialist clinics prior to diagnosis and treatment. The samples were coded, anonymized, randomized, and then exposed to UVA light. The UVA damage was observed in the form of pieces of DNA being pulled in an electric field towards the positive end of the field, causing a comet-like tail. In the lymphocyte genome sensitivity test, the longer the tail, the more DNA damage, and the measurements correlated to those who were ultimately diagnosed with cancer, those with precancerous conditions, and those who were healthy. And now we move to the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Clarence Darrow. I will give no biography as he has been previously quoted. Here's the quote from Clarence Darrow. "I have never killed a man, but I have read many obituaries with great pleasure."
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.